change order.
But we went deeper. We ordered more pipe, and we went to 1,300 feet because of what we were seeing in these stratas. And so we did go deeper. Now we're going to test for stratas. So what we lost in the one, we'll make up in the other.
You're talking about well number one.
The first one, no, yeah, well number one on your chart, which we're calling the BLM South.
Yeah. So you went deeper on that one.
We went another 300 feet. We
because
went
of what you
1,300
saw initially.
Feet.
Gotcha.
But what you're hoping is, oh, the microphones work now. But what, so what we saved on the Esplin piece, we'll spend on the BLM piece.
By not doing zone testing, it's pretty expensive to.
I'm just trying to get out, if we move forward on four, are we going to stay within the original budget of all three combined? That's my question.
That's what we're shooting for.
Yeah, I think that's the intent,
nice.
Right?
Somewhere in that, certainly in that neighborhood. We haven't spent any excessive money yet.
Okay. Well,
we've
talked about
one more zone. We talked about one more zone in this one that we're doing now, the BLM South, because there are some, there is a strata where we had to pipe it off down through the basically the volcanic rock that we hit. We had to pipe down to that point, and the first reading outside of the pipe was really aggressive. And so we've talked about maybe doing that, but we thought we'd see the quality coming up as they zone test 3 days at a shot, coming up the hole till we, and maybe do something at the end. But, you know.
No, my only thought would be is if you think we can do potential well number four and keep our total budget for all three combined within budget, then I say we go for it.
Well, these are just test wells, right? I mean, right now.
Yeah, we've already approved the test wells.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We've already approved them. But I'm saying is if for some reason we spent more on these first two and we didn't have the money to go to number four, we'd have to talk about it budget-wise. But
Mr. McCune, do we need any legal vote on this to make these changes, or is it just an agreement good enough because we already have an existing contract with the vendor?
Yeah, as of right now, we're just needing a direction, not necessarily anything more formal than that.
But this location was not one they bid on. Have you talked to the driller to see if they're okay for us? This was not one of their original.
Yeah, they bid on all these.
They bid on all of them. They're okay.
And we were, we were able to pick three.
They knew we were going to pick three. This is easy for them. It's right off the road.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just making sure they're
very
okay.
Very easy for them. There's a lot of water there.
Because I thought their initial bid was well site number one, well site number two, and well site number five.
You were extra large.
It was, and it was included in the bid documents that we could move it around to any of those six sites.
And they were okay with that. Okay.
Yes.
You can have it if you want.
All right.
You have your direction?
Yep. We will.
Thank you, sir.
Number four.
Number four. Let's get this one drilled out good and find a lot of really good water.
That will be,
that'd be
a good
fantastic.
Idea.
Fantastic.
Okay, no pressure, Jane. No pressure.
Drill, baby, drill.
Thank you.
That's it.
Just an announcement. We will put next week on the agenda. We have, I think we have settled on our finance director. A lady's name is Terry Marsh. She, probably nobody knows her.
Nope.
She's coming out of California. I said, well,
guess it wasn't.
Why Cedar City? That's a good question, right?
Yeah.
And she reported, because I didn't really, anyway, what I thought didn't matter. And she said, well, we're already got to have a house under construction. We're coming anyway. And she can live, I think, out by Robert. Didn't we determine that she's going to be out in your Point West, out in your neighborhood?
Okay.
So somebody out there, somewhere out there, they're apparently building a house. But we haven't got our contract back from her, but we're confident that we will.
What's your background?
Lots of experience, many years of experience. She's presently working for the city of Costa Mesa, with about 140,000 population, and she's coming to Cedar City. She has done conversions to our program, Castile, so she is that the way you say it? Castile?
Castile.
Castile.
So she's familiar with that. She would probably hit the run. Should be able to put her head down, get going. We're happy. I think we're all, the three of us that were in the room, of course, are pretty content that this is good. We had a very difficult time on this, making getting to this point. And it's a fascinating story. And someday, if you want a fascinating story about personnel, I'd be glad to tell you the story, but I won't publicize it. But
Mayor, who was it? Yourself, Paul, I'm assuming, and who else
Natasha.
And Natasha, okay.
When would this individual be able to start?
Well, she's working that out right now.
I see. Okay.
Okay. And we've talked now about the budget meetings. I guess we're doing them in the afternoons on the 6th and the 7th.
Of May.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll get you a agenda ready on that. Thank you, council members. Have you got business tonight?
I've got one. So I woke up to a fun call this morning. Some construction equipment was stolen from a job site. And anyway, we were able to narrow down a time. And I just really appreciate Cedar City Police working and responding so quickly. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of that equipment's worth more than a lot of people make in a year. But yeah, not quite as much as what the city charges for impact fees on a commercial building. But, you know, still, I mean, it's a pretty penny, right? So we were able to, using the flock safety cameras, we were able to get a plate read on them. Unfortunately, they were already in L.A.
Oh, my goodness.
And it'll probably be moved over the border and, you know, it's tariff-free, I believe. And then, you know, VIN numbers will be changed, and then it'll be brought back here tariff-free and sold, I'm sure. So, but these were professionals. They just, based on how it was taken and disabling GPS equipment and everything else, I mean, we are a target, and hopefully the more we publish about these flock safety cameras, I mean, they won't be able to use that truck or trailer anywhere in that network without being apprehended again. So anyway, appreciate Cedar City Police for responding so quickly, and hopefully we can get them next time. So appreciate you guys.
Sorry.
I wanted to do a shout out to our fire department. We were involved, all of us, in a little fire drill training burn at the Old Town and Country on Monday night?
Yeah.
Monday evening. And it was very interesting. It was interesting to see the level of expertise that our firefighters and their trainees were doing and the equipment that we do have available. We all got to be little firebugs for a minute and light some fires. It was very interesting to see the modern fuels as opposed to the standard fuels and how they burn differently. And I was just very impressed by all of them and how they handled it. And along those same lines, I just want to remind council and all the audience that this is Life Safety Week down at the fire department. And they've got two more days, tomorrow and Friday, where they've got schools coming in. And I'm going to be going down tomorrow to check out some of the work they do. And then lastly, I just want to do a shout out. The Utah Shakespeare Festival had an open house last night. And Mayor, I understand you were one tour in front of me.
Was I?
Yeah, yeah. But today is William Shakespeare's 461st birthday. He was born in 1564 on April 23rd, and he died in 1616 on April 23rd. He died on the same day he was born, 54 years later. So that's all. That's all I have.
You would know that.
Yes, I would know that.
We ate the cake yesterday.
I had some citizens reach out and say thank you for the street cleanup. They said they did a very good job. Yeah. They come and cleaned it up and swept it up, and they're so grateful that we do the spring cleanup. So just want to give a shout out to the street crew and the guys that get that done. So.
Mayor, I had a couple of things. I had a couple of citizens reach out to me over this last week. One thing was about, and Kenny's not here, so I won't talk about it too much. I can visit with Kenny, but just the condition of the infields at the Veterans Park. Just they've got kids that are getting hurt, and they're just wondering if there's anything they can do about getting some better dirt in there that's not like gravel, essentially. And so I need to go over there and visit it myself, but I'll visit with Kenny on that. And then the other one was I had some citizens reach out, and then I went and drove through them, and I fell to it myself. I was just a little bit concerned about when we have contractors that do their cut-ins out, you know, a new development, when they cut in to tie into sewer and they do their asphalt patches. There have been some very big holes, essentially, and I just wasn't super pleased with the...
Big dips.
Yeah, in both situations, it actually bottomed out my car in both situations. One was taken care of, but then the other one was just the one I hit it today was where they're putting in the new Cascade collision going up behind Walmart, and it goes all the way across the street, and it's just a massive dip where they've fixed the asphalt. So I don't know who... I don't know who checks on that after we've had a road cut, who goes out to check to make sure that they've patched it properly, but...
So when they do a road break, they have to post two bonds. One's a 14-day closure and one's a one-year closure. The 14-day closure is meant to get the hole closed and patched quickly. The one-year closure is meant to make sure it doesn't
settle.
And if it does, they can go back and redo it.
Okay.
Public Works inspects those. Eric Whiskey would go inspect those. And
okay. Well, if we could, like I said, the one was taken care of. I drove past the second one of them again today, and it seems to be better. But if we could just put that one right there behind Home Depot on his, as you go up the hill, on his radar, because it's pretty bad. And then, like I said, also reminds me, what is our schedule for asphalt on industrial? Do we know when that's getting poured, Kent? The trail looks fantastic. Just now,
you're a long ways from asphalt. They're still running electrical.
They're finishing up some of the curb work. A lot of those long poles were done with, you know, the slip forming, but they have additional pieces there at the intersection corners and things that they're trying to get finished up. My understanding is that that's coming very soon, like within the next week, that they'll be out there paving on the roadway itself.
I'd be surprised.
Okay.
Just knowing what I know.
I'm ready for that project to be done, as I'm sure you are.
Good luck. We got some other issues.
I'm just glad 800 West is open back up. Now we can get on to 800 West again. So, okay.
Thank you. Youth Council, do you have anything for us this evening? Shaking head no. Thank you. Staff? Anything? Nothing? Public comments?
Ann Clark. I've been gone for a couple of weeks to track meets, being a grandma, but I wanted to finish kind of talking about the SHD zone, and I realized this was not the city council that voted in the SHD zone, but I think that this is the city council that could resolve some of the problems of the SHD zone. Now, to be honest with you, a couple of weeks ago when I was here, I was really impressed with Phil Schmidt, and I'm going to tell you why. He wanted his property rezoned, the development right by it, had problems, and he got together, and what did he do? They came up with a solution, and he's going to spend a lot of money putting a wall down between those properties. And I thought how great it was that they came up with a compromise and a solution. Now, this led me to thinking about the SHD zone again, because I thought, what did the neighbors in the SHD zone get? Was there any compromise? Because all I can see is that they got false promises. And there was no win-win. There was no compromise where both parties felt good by the end of the day. So I'm just saying there are some solutions. I think, number one, that would really go a long way to helping people is to propose an ordinance where you cannot go out of the SHD zone. Let's confine all of that building to the SHD zone. The other thing I wanted to say, and when you really look at it, there are other solutions. If you go, we have a granddaughter that goes to Utah State. Now, I've been up there. I've seen where she lives. They have several, like I keep saying, parking structures. But then she is a freshman there. She lives in student housing, but not on campus. And so then they have shuttle buses that take them up to the campus, and she catches the shuttle bus, and she has a car there. But, you know, there's parking problems when you get by campus. So she, I think mostly she catches the shuttle bus. And I just started thinking, when I looked at Phil Schmidt, I thought we could really come up with some solutions that are a win-win for both people. I realize we have to have student housing, but I also realize that we have to respect the history of our town. And I keep thinking, whenever I travel, I think, thank goodness in Ireland they didn't tear down the castles, or think they didn't tear down the cathedrals. These are our old places. So anyway, I think that we could come up with something that we could do that could be a win-win for everybody. And still, because if you really look, and I won't read it tonight because I'm not probably out of time, but if you really look at the general plan, they really talk about what the people want, and they want this to stay that feel, that community rural feel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Other public comments? Thank you. We'll do the consent agenda. Item number one, approval of the minutes dated April 2nd and the 9th, 2025. Item number two, ratify bills dated April the 11th, 2025. And number three, approval of variance to engineering standards pertaining to the length of a road ending in a cul-de-sac for the Church Canyon PUD Phase 3.5, Estates View Drive and 2900 South Street.
Mayor, I would move that we approve the consent agenda as read.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Mayor, before we move on, I do have one question on number three. Do we have the wheels in motion for just looking at after last week's meeting? Are we going to revisit this at some point and just look at the engineering standard as a whole?
Yeah, we are looking at the cul-de-sac length issue, what the reasons for the limitation have been, what other cities are doing, and trying to just gather some information to come back to you with a proposal.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number four, consider an ordinance amending the general plan from low-density residential LD to central commercial CC, and an ordinance changing the zone from dwelling multiple units R3M to central commercial CC for the property located in the vicinity of 1600 North Wedgwood Lane. You don't have to say anything. You're here. Thank you. And
if we have questions, we'll call you if we have questions, right? Has anything changed in this since last week?
Nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And you're sure you don't want to build apartments? You don't want to build apartments there? You sure, Jason?
You got to come to the microphone.
You got to come
to the microphone.
That's what it sounds
like. And you'll have to introduce yourself. I'm sorry.
I'm Jason Ashworth, and I love to talk, so I'm glad you gave me the opportunity. I just really feel like this property, if it's rezoned to commercial, really makes it bland. That means the whole side of that street is all commercial or commercial use. It really just is an odd piece. I think that it would be a very easy decision if we were all standing on the corner of it, because you could see that correction facility is so big there behind it with a big, tall fence. And if you build an apartment there, you'd be looking right. I'd be your neighbor. I mean, it's just really hard. And so I just think it just makes more sense to do something commercial that we could utilize. And I just think that's the best use of the property. It is kind of an odd-shaped property. One good thing is I think that when we did have our planning, at the planning meeting, there were two or three people that came that liked the idea. I mean, the people that lived in the trailer court, a person that lived on that in the Fairway Drive housing there, that they were kind of in support of it, thinking that it would actually improve the place. So there you go.
Jason, have you ever been in an apartment building in New York City? Because you look out at a wall.
I know. That's the thing. And they got the big, tall skyscrapers. But I think in today's market, you could rent, because everything's renting. But when the markets are always shifting, and if the market softens, it'd be really difficult. And I think there's a lot of apartments being built. I don't think, and that's the other thing, I think that a commercial setting where a person could go in and rent, that I'm talking about doing maybe a 1,500 square foot spot to run a little small business out of, just makes sense. I think there's a need for it in Cedar City. Yeah. Any other questions?
I don't think so. Anyone?
Thank you.
With that, I would move that we amend the general plan from low-density residential to central commercial, and also, can I do these together since they're on the same agenda item? And then also approve the ordinance changing the zone from dwelling multiple unit to central commercial for a property located in the vicinity of 1600 North Wedgwood Lane.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Mr. Phillips?
Before I cast my vote, I just want to say that generally speaking, I do not like to remove low density, as my colleagues will know. But I think for all the statements that Mr. Ashworth so eloquently stated, it makes the most sense, so I would vote aye.
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 And also, just, you know, I feel like with Councilman Phillips, especially removing low density off the general plan, but in this situation, on that side of the street where we do have a street, you know, separating the two of them, there's no low density on that side of the street whatsoever, surrounded by, you know, the things that it is. That's also why I vote aye.
Aye, as well, that's unanimous.
Because we looked at the ratio.
Thank you. Item number five. Thank you.
It's still low. We still.
And item number five, consider an American 250 resolution and creation of the Cedar City, Utah 250 Community Committee.
Mayor, nothing has changed since last week except the fact that we've got more people interested that want to participate, and that's good. We'll have lots of subcommittees, I guarantee you.
You're going to make it hard for me to find all the committee people that I need. You're calling
no,
everybody.
I'll make sure that one of the conditions of seeing on this is you still have to say yes to the mayor when he calls you. How about that? And we're having our first meeting tomorrow
at
4 o'clock.
Thank you very much.
As far as, I mean, using the term they use at the state, but at this point, there's no, like, fiscal, there will be, right?
I'm asking to have some money put in our budget.
Gotcha.
But we're also asking Iron County and Parowan City and a few of them to also participate.
Gotcha. But at this point, there's nothing being committed money-wise. It's just with this. This is just to create.
But we can't even request money from the state until we pass a resolution becoming an American 250 city.
Gotcha.
Please remember that annually, the council appropriates money under the headings of, as soon
community
as I started
promotions?
To speak. The
community promotions?
Community promotions.
Oh, gee whiz.
Event support. And there's, Mr. Phillips indicated last week it was $10,000 he was looking for, and there's probably plenty of money in that area to cover it. So.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Phillips, did you want to make the motion on this, or do you want somebody else to do it since it's your item?
It doesn't matter. I mean, should I make my motion on my own proposal? I would move that we adopt American 250 resolution and for the creation of the Cedar City, Utah 250 Community Committee.
Second.
I have motion and second. Mr. Melling?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you.
I made the motion.
Item number six. Considered AIP 049 change order number 9.
Sorry about that, Tyler Glick, Airport Manager. No changes from last week on this. We're still looking at the same amounts for change order number 9, and hopefully not too many on the next one that we'll see in the next council iteration. So,
I hope maybe the last one.
Hopefully the last one.
I would move that we approve AIP 049 change order number 9.
Second.
I have a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'll abstain.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 7, consider an ordinance amending Cedar City Ordinance 26-XV116-3 regarding signage in the historic downtown area.
Good evening, Mayor, members of City Council, Don Boudreau, City Engineering. I wanted to make two quick suggestions on this. I think they're very simple. One is 26-16B5, where it mentions window signs limited to 20%. That's inconsistent with the rest of our ordinance.
We got to find it. I'm sorry.
Okay, 26-16B5. There we go. There was some language added there to restrict it to 20%. Those are exempt up to 25% in the ordinance. I think that was a typo.
So we had it before, we just didn't have.
Do you just want to change that to
25%
to make it consistent with the rest of the ordinance?
That's correct. And I had one more suggestion. This, Ken, is 2616B11. And I don't like to come and suggest things at the last minute, but walking around the downtown this afternoon, you probably have 75% of your folks with window signs that have little neon or internally lit signs that say open or closed. I think that we should put an exemption in there. I don't think it's something we need to chase, what people do with their windows.
Probably so.
So
where is that? Where is
26B16?
So 11A. A has an exemption.
11A.
I think we should put window signs in there as well.
Put a section, an exemption B that says small window signs. Right.
Or open and close, or something
indicating
like that.
You're open or closed.
Yeah, up to 25%. That's what I'd look at.
Window signs are already defined as the 25%. So if you just add, so in the existing exception, halo signs, theater marquees may have illumination and
window signs.
Okay.
Did you talk to Brent Drew? He's with the downtown. He's on the downtown alliance. He actually walked it, and there do happen to be some locations where it doesn't make sense to have them at the 4 feet, and that's in the parking lots. I mean, that's where you want them big. You want to direct people into where they are.
You're talking about the monument signs?
Just the monument signs?
What are you talking about?
The signage,
yeah. Yeah, like the...
So, in other words...
Where we've tried to consolidate them in one area so they're taller.
Correct.
Because they're, yeah, correct. Like the lens.
And so, like, a parking lot is one place where you'd really want a big one so that people know where to find, especially if you come in the backside of Main Street, and that's a place that it doesn't, it's not going to impair the vision along Main Street. Brent actually come back to me, he said, I walked it, and you're correct, there are some locations where it makes sense to have them higher than the 4 feet.
Well, the current signs at Lynn's, when you're on Main Street and you're pulling into the parking lot there, they do have monument style signs there. But I don't think they're more than 5 or 5 feet.
But they're probably on their parking lot property, and I think that's where we need to make the exception, is if they're in a parking lot, then we make an exception or don't add that to the ordinance, because that's where I think it would make sense to have them different than what we're proposing along Main Street.
So you're talking about 100 West.
Yeah. Right. And it does, to me, it makes sense in those parking lots to have something different, because people can see, they can get to the stores. I mean, because from the backside, you don't know what's what.
Can you give me some example? Like, you be talking like where Evans Hairstyling College is or something like that?
Anywhere that there's a parking lot. I mean, if you get into the parking lot and put it up and it directs you to the businesses, that to me makes sense to be bigger.
So what do you think big should be?
Big enough to people know where they have to find the stores.
Well, I'm trying to think.
Councilmember Cox, so I think the intent was to not have David Johnson Economic Development. I think the intent was to not have the big monument signs on Main Street, and it sounds like you're talking more of the side streets where
there's
secondary
a parking
entrances
lot.
And parking lots. I think the main concern was Main Street, so I could see if you want to make an adjustment for secondary, you know, side streets to be above that may the our committee would probably be okay with that.
Well, and Brent Drew himself said that he was in favor of that. He said, because I went around and looked, and it is, you know, you're absolutely right. There's some places where it makes sense.
So what we could say is,
for example, go up the street, Kent, and
so to keep it simple, rather than overcomplicating it, we can say on Main Street.
Well,
right.
But we have Lens on Main Street. So
right.
To me, the parking lot is,
if
there's a parking lot, that's the designating.
Is this considered a monument sign, or is this freestanding? What is this kind of sign?
It's kind of a hybrid. It's a hybrid between.
I know it is.
Yeah, the idea is that on Main Street to not have more monument signs that are over 4 feet. And there's really no other places,
well,
to be honest.
I guess my issue is we have the city's tenants that get to use the sign, but no one else's tenants in the future. That's, you know, I struggle with that.
The city's tenants?
Lens.
Like the Lens.
That whole center there, it is actually better for traffic to let them know where stuff is. I mean, because there's more than just Lens in there.
I would recommend then, if there's consensus on it, that maybe you table that and we can rethink that through and then talk to the committee more on it.
I think if there's a parking lot, it warrants a bigger sign. That makes it easy.
Yeah.
Because there's a parking lot in the back, there's a parking lot in Lens.
All I'm saying is...
And there's no other parking lots along Main Street except for there and on the back side of the establishments on 100 West.
Yeah, I think the main idea is they just didn't want the giant signs right on Main Street, if that makes sense. So
then it's an easy switch.
I don't know, Don, what
KB
do you mean?
Oil
what would
down
you
there. I mean, there's some farther south.
I mean, when it comes down to it, I mean, what we're talking about in this particular piece of geography is aesthetics. That's where we're at. I can speak to most cities limit the size of monument signs to about 5-6 feet. Now, not necessarily, that's just in height. Now, I think that little Lens sign you're looking at now is really what we were chasing with the ordinance as it's written. My personal opinion is monument signs up to 20 feet tall, which is what ordinance would allow now, are very tall. They're not the most pleasing signs. So you could spin around even to our sign at the park. It's a very nice looking monument sign. And they also...
Main Street Park, you mean?
Main Street Park. There's another one kind of catty corner over by Best Western. But the monument signs are also effective because they put things right at your eye level. you know you're not doing this sort of thing. So they're aesthetically nicer, in my opinion, and they work for businesses too. But it really is a choice of aesthetics. What do you want to see down here?
So monument signs, according to this, would be limited to the 5 feet, you know, 4 feet plus the 1 foot pedestal. What that? So let's go back to this actual sign, the taller one that we've looked at. So if it's not a monument sign, what's the do we have a classification, a definition of a hybrid?
This one's a pylon, right? That's how you classify it.
They're trying to avoid tall signs, like that tall. So like, you know, the sign Best Western has that super tall pole signs, those kind of signs. This is like a dual pole sign, essentially,
yeah,
mixed with the monument.
Monument signs, too, they're typically defined as a continuous base.
Yeah.
You know, like the small lens one you said.
So do we have, like, would this sign, do we have a definition for this in our current ordinance?
I would still consider this a freestanding style sign.
Because, and so what's the height limit on a freestanding sign in our in this ordinance that you're proposing? What's the limit?
The ordinance currently proposes no freestanding.
No freestanding. Right.
Anywhere else in town is 30 feet tall.
Okay. So so in the downtown, the only kind you could have would be essentially a monument.
A smaller monument.
That's as, 4 feet.
As 5 foot.
Which, well, 5 feet. Which you couldn't get all that information and have people see it and know what's back there. I just think if there's a parking lot, then we should be able to allow bigger signs.
I mean
that kind of drowns out the. It's a lot different than in along all these buildings along Main Street, in my opinion.
Well, and you could also make the argument if you were trying to pull out of that parking lot, if that was a 5 foot tall monument sign,
you wouldn't be able to see around
car,
it.
You wouldn't even be able to see down that sidewalk headed north.
The ordinance would require them to be pulled back at least 15 feet.
Correct, and I figured that was also.
And it gives some subjectivity to the city.
In fact, there's a historic sign that's about this big coming out of my office that's dangerous because you can't see
it's
the...
It's supposed to be
moved. Yeah, we're moving that.
It's okay. Being moved. It's being moved. It was put in the wrong place.
And so a four-foot sign is not necessarily better, is my point, no, especially if it blocks the view.
You do need to pull them away from the driveways. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I think the committee and staff would agree with that, that it shouldn't block views.
And that's in the ordinance. It's always been in the ordinance.
Councilman, I would prefer if we did this, that if we either pull the change in the monuments entirely so we can move the rest of the changes forward, or if there is a selected height that you would feel comfortable, if that is at 6 feet, is that 7 feet? I don't know whether it shouldn't be 20
feet.
That
sign doesn't bother me one bit. I don't think it's ugly. I don't think it detracts from downtown because it's in a parking lot.
So I think the idea is we don't want a sign.
So the parking lot is the issue to me.
I think the idea is we just don't want a sign like that right in front of Ganoshed. Does that make sense?
Well, that's
is there
you're
a parking
saying.
Lot?
That's what you're saying, where there's a parking lot.
Right.
I'm saying so, that if it's in a parking lot, put a big sign up there and let people know where stuff is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
don't, I mean, if you focus on the intent of the ordinance, which I think is aesthetics, as geared towards our historical buildings, I don't know what the economic committee would think. If you were to put them off of 100 West, I don't think you're in.
And now
Brent Drew's the one that suggested it, just so you know.
Are we just talking from 200 South to 200 North?
Yes.
Yes, and
exactly.
And I mean, if you go south, you still have taller signs.
So you only have this, and you have the parking lots on 100 West.
Yeah. Well, if you go south, you have the KB sign.
Yeah, but that's
I'm talking about in the historic area.
That's not in this.
But that's from 200 South to 200 North. It is.
Yeah, it's.
Are we from Center Street to 200 North? Is that all we're talking about?
We had the map up last week.
That's in the PowerPoint, if you guys want to view the map.
How tall, when we had the conversations with Maverick, how tall is their monument sign they proposed?
It's just taller looking than at this. That with the goosenecks.
But I thought it was coming off.
With the goosenecks, it's about 11.
And I thought it was coming off.
Steve has something to say. Let's hear it.
I own a fairly big chunk of the land in this district. And I don't
What's
mind
your name?
Steve Nelson. The concept of what you're saying is not inaccurate, but the definition is actually important because I own a few parking lots. There's one, the Brick House parking lot's a parking lot, right? A lot of the buildings will have a little parking lot next to them. So to me, what you're really talking about with this is because the buildings are recessed off of the main street, that is what dictates the need for that kind of a sign, right?
And I agree with that.
So I think it's less about a parking lot or not. It's if the parking lot that services the buildings, if the building is off of the street, then that's really where this kind of a thing is dictated. If it's the brick house and the building's on the front and it's a side parking lot, then use the brick house with better looking signage for your signage and not have to have it in the parking lot. So that's my thoughts.
So what would you propose as far as a height, or is there a certain distance that you would like to see it if it's recessed?
I actually agree with the monument sign concept because, again, if the buildings are the key to me. If it's the historic building, they're up at a zero setback.
Correct.
To create the enclosure of the street that makes it comfortable to want to walk and be in the street. So if we allow that kind of thing to be built again, you kind of have to allow that kind of a sign because the buildings are recessed off. And to your point, people need to be able to see what is in those buildings.
Correct.
So, again, I'd focus less on it being a parking lot and
more on a recessed building.
A recessed building but leave the monument sign thing as it is for everywhere else and just allow a taller sign if the building's recessed off.
So I could live with that.
So I would just recommend you can have it at this 5 foot, like it says, and then say something along the lines with the exception of a recessed building.
And then it will meet this typical sign standards or whatever.
Well, any sign that is there now is already grandfathered in.
Yeah.
We're not proposing that any of this change.
Right.
Tom Jett, just keep one thing in mind. We have a large parcel that eventually is going to come up for the market. Where the Lunt Motors used to be, or just on the south side of Zions Bank. And so this issue, signage is going to be very important. I don't have a financial interest in anything in this historic zone, but just that's going to come up back to a council in the future on how to treat that, because that's several acres. Mm-hmm.
I would say the recommendation by Mr. Nelson would accommodate for even Mr. Jett's talking about, if you just put in that little exception and we can figure out language for that.
Well, the other question I have, sorry to interrupt you, Don, the other question is, one of the reasons why this sign is the size that it is because it's advertising for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 businesses.
Correct.
So in our current ordinance, the one that you have proposed tonight, could somebody build a monument sign with more than one, or is it?
Or do you have 5 monument signs for each business?
I don't think it would limit you. You might run into some minutiae in the ordinance. You know, those lots that front 100 West I think there's a lot of different owners.
My issue is this. If you have a spot for a sign, and this is a kind of think a hybrid of what Mr. Nelson had to say and what Councilman Cox is having to say. If you have a parking lot or an area that serves more than one business, you can't get 5 or 6 businesses on a 4-foot-tall monument sign. I mean, you can, but it's going to be pretty squished.
More dangerous.
And so that's my concern.
You're limited on your number of monument signs based on the linear feet of frontage you have.
That's
well.
Kind of what I'm more like. Depends on how many numbers of businesses that monument sign has to service.
Anywhere else in town, that is how they are regulated. There are a minimum of 30, and then they are based on the linear frontage of your property.
The thing that changed all of this was when we took all of the existing buildings that were zero setbacks along Main Street in when we did this development 25 years ago, because there weren't any parking lots along Main Street at that time.
Correct.
So I'm fine with an offset building, or if there's more than one business, something in that language to, because it's not going to impact any of this down here.
My suggestion here would be, not just an offset building, but an offset building with parking between the street and the building. Because you could take it back 5 feet.
Agreed.
And then it would be offset.
Yeah.
So if it's the council's pleasure to allow these types of signs, when you have the large parking lots and the buildings are harder to see, then I would say when the parking is between the two.
So we could say with the exception of, so pass it as is, with the exception of an offset building with the primary parking lot, or with a parking lot
in between
front of the business.
And then at this point, you'd be down to the size of the sign.
So I'm looking at one out through the door right here.
That's grandfathered, yeah.
Cash Valley Bank and Caldwell Bankers. So they're not just one.
Yeah. But that's more of a freestanding sign, isn't it?
That would be a freestanding sign.
But that wouldn't be allowed if
that wouldn't be allowed at all.
As a new sign.
If they pulled it down, we wouldn't allow them to put it back up.
Correct.
Correct, yeah.
Could I make a suggestion, though? If the desire is to allow for some larger signs because of that need to advertise multiple businesses, I would rather see that be a freestanding sign than a monument sign, so that we can open up the visibility underneath it for traffic safety purposes.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm getting at. So that's why I'm more concerned about us pulling freestanding signs altogether.
So maybe that's where the exception actually needs to apply. Maybe the monument sign stays at the 5 foot, and then when you have a recessed building with a parking lot in front, they're allowed to have a pole sign up to whatever X number of feet. I don't know, Don?
Well, you want to get your traffic... you want to be able to see what do we look for there, Ken, at least 7 feet as far as
the line of sight?
Minimum height on a freestanding sign?
Yeah, the preference would be for that bottom of the sign to be at least 7 feet up.
So that doesn't mean we have to allow them to go up to 30. I mean, that's correct, pretty tall. Yeah. We can say 7 to 15, 7 to 20, 7 to...
Right.
We don't have to give them 30 feet. That's
so this sign ordinance has a lot of definitions in it.
Yes.
And there's a difference between freestanding signs and pole signs and monument signs and halo signs and all these other types of signs. So could we please, if that's a direction that the council wants to give, carve that out of what you approved tonight and let staff get the definitions and the wording right and bring it back to you, please?
Agreed.
Yeah, so we can...
Or is there anything that's super pressing coming up if we were to...
Are we okay to table one more round of meetings while we work through some of these...
I don't see anything pressing.
You can table it.
Well, correct me, though, if I'm wrong. I mean, the freestanding and pole signs are a definition that we're not even addressing right now in the proposed changes.
Other than allowing them at all. Eliminating pole signs is part of it. So, which I agree with Mr. Bittman. Let's take a little bit of time, refine that. We can do it all at once rather than piecemealing it. The other thing is...
We do have a couple of businesses, though, that are interested in halo signs.
Yes.
And right now, they can't do them.
Right. And so the monument sign and the pole sign was where there was maybe a little more clarity on what the restrictions were. But the rest of it, essentially, is allowing more flexibility and more types of signage on the front of the building.
Which is the main... I hate legislating aesthetics because I don't think they should be enforced at the point of a gun, but... at least this ordinance peels some of that back and allows more options. Now, do we allow what we had historically for neon signs for gas stations in our historic downtown? No. Do we allow the China Garden lady that was iconic of Cedar City? No. But
right. So, to that point, one thing I wanted to clarify is, there's all kinds of eras of historic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so typically with committees like this that make the recommendations in cities, we determine what is the historic branding.
Look at that
pretty
picture right over there. That's historic.
That is.
That's beautiful, yeah. So, and that's the idea. The committee's just the historic downtown committee, which is primarily businesses.
Which parts of our history do we choose to remember?
That's correct.
Well, and what's the look and feel? When it comes to economic development, it's really, to me, it's not just historic. It's about branding. How are we branding our, what's the aesthetic we want to go for? And that's really what it's about.
So, Don and David, my question is this then. Right now, can you think of any unforeseen consequence if we were to pass the ordinance as written minus removing pole signs and freestanding signs from the historic district? So we'll pass everything else that allows the halo, moves forward on monument, and we just focus on when and where do we allow freestanding and pole signs going forward, but everything else just passes as written. Can you think of any unforeseen consequences in the next few weeks?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't, David. You guys okay with that?
So if you guys want to piecemeal it, you can, or we can...
Oh, we don't have any... We don't have anyone waiting for the ordinance anyway, so we can all together, too.
Well, they just said you do have some people waiting on parts of the ordinance.
Yeah.
The halo portion.
Okay.
If there are people waiting on halos, let's allow halos again and...
Make halos great again?
Make halos great again. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so where... Could you find in this ordinance where is the part that would remove pole signs and... freestanding signs, so I can, if I make a motion, I can point to where those are talked about.
See if I can find it here.
That's what I think. It's not in the definitions.
Back up where we were at, Kent.
So that would be 2616, B number 2.
Oops.
26.
That strikes, or that prohibits freestanding signs.
Where are we? I'm sorry.
2616.
I didn't see
B2. It. There it is.
B number 2.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's where back up.
Back up. You were right there. Number 2.
Right there. Right there.
So that's where it mentions freestanding signs.
Ah, okay.
And then the monument signs, I would just leave number 6 alone and take out the added language. Just leave number 6 as monument signs may be permitted on lots having setback space.
Yeah.
Well,
that covers what we...
For now,
and then we'll bring
the council. So what do I need to do about the lot, about the freestanding, or about the setback?
So omit the proposed changes in number 6 on that section.
And on which section?
The second, let's be 26, 16,
and the second sentence of 2.
26, 16.
B6.
B6. All of that or just part of
just
that?
Just the added language,
would,
the green.
At this point, I would recommend we strike all of that.
If we go to there, we take care of it. Don't lose it.
Don't let it go away.
It's there.
I think we are fine with part. I mean, 5 feet, or are we saying we want to have a whole discussion on how tall a monument sign can even be?
So maybe what we can do is we can table that portion. You can move forward with the other portion. We can even get some feedback from the historic committee. You mentioned Councilmember Cox. You mentioned Brent Drew had said something. So maybe but the whole committee hasn't been able to kind of process that portion. And so it might be good to just let them process it, and then we can bring that back to you.
Okay. I'm going to attempt this here. And I move that we adopt an ordinance amending the Cedar City sign ordinance in section 26 regarding signage in the historic downtown area as presented with these changes. We will remove freestanding and there's not pole sign on there, so freestanding. We will remove freestanding signs as
You mean remove the language about freestanding signs?
Remove freestanding signs as one of the prohibited signs on 26-16B2. So we'll remove freestanding, and we will also remove for now the verbiage that was added on 26-16B6 in regards to monument signs, the added language.
Would you like to add in those two items brought up by staff at the beginning of the discussion as well?
Which were?
The 20. Instead of going 20%, go 25% to make consistent with the rest of the ordinance.
Yes, and also correct the language to show that it's 25% of the face of the window that can be a window sign, and that window sign can be a backlit or neon type sign.
Internally lit, yeah.
Internally lit.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion. And a second, we'll start with Mr. Riddle.
Aye.
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 Nay.
Aye.
Thank you.
And hopefully that is with the understanding. We're definitely not done here. We need to... Okay. But that way, if you do have people waiting on halo signs and things like that, they can move forward.
And we can add in the China Garden exemption. If that sign ever comes back, it needs to go back
up. I think we should drive down and get it.
I want the building to come back.
That too.
It's gone.
Well, the
building is gone.
Okay.
Sorry. I need to write this down.
Let's see. What was their names? Who owned it? I'll remember before we're done.
Okay.
Item number 8.
See if we can get them back here.
Item number 8, consider an ordinance amending Cedar City Ordinance 32-9, creating the Northwest Water Reimbursement Area.
T.S. Their last name was T.S.
You won't have anybody else here. I haven't made any modifications from last time. It didn't sound like in listening to the YouTube there was anything that you guys wanted to change on it. I think it's good to go.
Okay. I'd move that we create the ordinance amending Cedar City Ordinance 32-9, creating the Northwest Water Reimbursement Area.
Second.
I have a motion second, starting with Mr. Cox.
Aye.
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 Thank you. Item number 9, consider long-term lease of city property in the vicinity of 150 West Falcon Circle, 3200 North.
I mentioned in just the very brief memo that I provided to you on this one that if you wish to discuss this one further, so you're not just going to say yes or no, Let's go into closed session so you can feel more open to discuss it.
So that would be essentially table. If we do want to do that, we would table this for now or just...
No, you just go into closed session.
Just go into closed
session. Come back out.
Go back out of closed session and vote.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Well, how much can
we? Oh, yeah, because this is the last item.
How much can we discuss here?
It's a lease negotiation.
You can discuss whatever you want in the public meeting. Just know, similar to last time, it made my discussion with her a little more difficult, knowing that everything that was said in here was already public. Like, she had it all.
Sure.
So.
Well, I don't think we need to hide anything. I think it's unfortunate. I thought her response to you, but it was very curt, and I think it was unfortunate. But that's, again, my personal feeling. Is that the billboard industry in the state has way too strong a lobby. And I know that we're only a municipality. We're not the state legislature. But this is part of the problem we have, I think, in our system in the state. But I certainly don't want it on Main Street.
And that's the decision.
So.
Was this our only closed session item?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So if we decide to... make a motion on this and vote here, yeah, then we don't have
we're just done.
Okay. Yeah, that was just purely as an option if you wish to discuss
gotcha.
It.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Anyone?
I mean, unless we think there's room to try to figure some negotiate or counter offer, there's nothing to talk about in the closed session.
I don't think there is.
I mean,
I think they have
so.
Us over a barrel.
You're, yeah, they. They told us what they're willing to pay, and unless we think we have the right to counter, we just need to.
Well, the counter doesn't work because the counter is simply no.
Yeah.
There's nothing, no to the counter offer. We want our rights to do it on Main Street.
Well, I'm saying counter what they're willing to pay, I said, would be the only counter.
Right. We tried
to
do that.
Would you like to speak? Mayor, you've got someone who'd like to speak.
Oh, may, Tom Jett, may I make just one comment? That they're playing the bully card on Main Street, mm-hmm. but the Main Street sign will not carry near the value for their sales as the freeway sign will.
I don't think you're right.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mayor.
I think you're right.
And so they're really not. It's like comparing a home in Burrell and a home in Cedar City. They just carry different values.
It's about four
now,
times
this is a game of, I guess, a game of chess. And
yeah,
not...
from them, from a business standpoint, I guess that's probably true, and I can only speak for myself, but I think the value proposition is on the other side. As far as I'm concerned as a citizen, I don't want billboards all up and down our Main Street.
And I'm envious of what you guys are getting compared to what we're getting, but I'm just giving you my sure. 2 cents worth on this. So the value for their marketing will be much better on
freeway.
Well,
sorry,
freeway.
Did they ever disclose where they were going to put it?
Like, do we know for sure they have a place they could put it on Main, or are they just...
Yes. No, yes. There is an application in that Logan's is ready to be approved.
Oh, that's right. You did say
right by Nichols Canyon.
For building permit.
Yes.
For that side.
So they are a bit against the wire in that sense because they need to take down the other two. And so that's why they're saying... And we got an update on that this morning that said we're ready to sign it as soon as you approve it. Well, either one. So if we don't approve this one, they want us to approve the Main Street one.
While I'm not happy about this, I would make a motion to approve a long-term lease for city property in the vicinity of 150 West Falcon Circle, 2200 North.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nay.
Nay.
Thank you. Interesting. We don't need a closed session.
We don't need to?
No.
That was for this only.
That was there if we wanted to call one.
That was for this. Maybe that would have changed your vote.
I would move that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.